It's A Tale of Trails, and it's one you don't want to miss if, well, you like to get out of your car. Welcome to The Full Story on WSHU. I'm Ron Ropiak, and today we're going to take a look at the state of trails in our states. From Connecticut across New York, we'll find out about some of the people who are behind the trails and how difficult it can be to create the trails and then maintain them. If you want to join the conversation, it's simple to do. Email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org, and you can find us on Facebook at Full Story WSHU. Now, we're going to start our program today with Stacy Stern. Stacy is the program specialist for UConn Extension, and she works with a number of extension teams, but one of them that she works with is on, what else? Trails. How are you, Stacy? Thanks for your time today.
I'm well, thank you, and thank you for covering trails. We're excited to talk about them.
When we say that you work with trails, on trails, what are we talking about? Maintaining them, building them?
So we have a group of about 15 people at the University of Connecticut, led by Laura Brown and Mike Puglisi, two of our extension educators, that are in a group called People Active on Trails for Health and Sustainability. So our group, this working group of 15 people, is trying to promote trail use in the state, trying to capture data on how trails are used, which trails are used, how many people are on them, facilitate trail use as a transportation, recreation, and for a healthier lifestyle.
All right, so you've been doing this for a while. How many trails are there in Connecticut?
We have a lot of trails in Connecticut. I believe if you look at the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, they have over 2,000 miles of 2,000 miles of trails in the state. And then you have organizations such as Connecticut Forest and Park Association, the East Coast Greenway, that also have trails. So we have plenty of trail opportunities across the state of Connecticut.
You know, it's always surprising to me as I just go driving around or walking around, every now and then I'll see a marker for a trail that I had no idea it was even there before.
There are, yes. And there's so many land trusts. Towns own trails as well and maintain them. There's many opportunities to get involved. I serve, not related to my position at UConn, but on the Connecticut Greenways Council, and we oversee trails statewide, just work as a advisory organization for different people, and we've got somebody from Department of Transportation on there. DEEP, the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, oversees our council. So there are a lot of people really enthusiastic about trails in Connecticut. And really, we want to get the word out there and let people know that trails are available. The Connecticut Trail Symposium is coming up on October 24th at Goodwin College in East Hartford. And this year's theme is all about shouting it out and letting people know that trails are an option in Connecticut.
Now, are these trails for us to go walking on? Are they jogging trails? Are they for bike riding? Because I know some people don't like to have them mixed. They feel that if some bike riders go on them, mountain bikes, that it could be an unsafe, unhealthy mix, and they like to keep things separate. So what are we talking about?
So we have all kinds of trails here in Connecticut. There are some trails that are for certain uses only, hiking trails only. In particular comes to mind, if you've ever seen those Blue Blaze trails, those are maintained by Connecticut Forest and Park Association. Those are hiking only. But we do have a lot of multi-use trails. And in a small state, where we need to encourage multi-use trails because we all have to share the trail. I have horses, so I trail ride with my horses quite often. And we always look forward to seeing the other trail users. It's nice to interact with other people. We're all out there for the same reason. So one of the things that our PATHS trail group at UConn is doing is an encouraging trail etiquette and educating people on how other trail users want to be approached and just being polite and friendly out there while we're all trying to enjoy the trails.
I brought up the bikes before because a few years back I was riding a bike on one of the trails and someone said to me, you should not be here. It is mixed use, but we don't want you here. And I thought, you know what? Let's work on etiquette a little bit and we can both try a little bit harder for something like this. who maintains the trails? I mean, it's an expensive proposition. After storms, the trees come down. They may get flooded. Things happen. Sometimes people are not as nice as they should be, and they'll leave garbage there. Who goes and does all this?
So that really depends on the trail and who manages it, but I'll give you an example. In last June, I think it was, a tornado went through Sleeping Giant State Park in Hamden and took down about 2,000 trees. Sleeping Giant has had, the Sleeping Giant Park Association was founded in 1924, and those volunteers were really the force behind getting that park reopened this summer. They worked with DEEP to coordinate the efforts, but a lot of our different trails and parks, state parks, have friends organizations or something similar to the Sleeping Giant Park Association, where there's people out there every weekend volunteering to keep these trails open.
Hmm. Stacy, is there any way to actually, it sounds a little far out, but to connect the trails? You know, I'm thinking of the Appalachian Trail, and so you can get on there and you can hike, you know, from one end all the way to the other end. Is there a way that someone could do that in Connecticut where they could say, you know what, for a few weeks or so, I'm going to start on a trail, let's say down in Fairfield County, and I'm just going to make my way through the state?
Yes, the East Coast Greenway, and that actually runs from Florida to Maine. They're working on closing the gaps right now. There's a couple gaps in Connecticut. They're getting them closed, but when that is all connected, people will be able to get all the way across the state on the East Coast Greenway. A lot of the rail trail that's, again, managed by DEEP is connected, so you can do quite a stretch just by working through the different trail system, too.
Explain that to us, please.
There's many different options.
I'm sorry, explain the rail trails. What's a rail trail?
So we used to have railroads crisscrossing Connecticut before we had trucks and highways, and these rail trails have been turned over to DEEP, the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, and they've been reclaimed, repurposed as trails. So you're basically, when you're on those rail trails, you're on old railroad bed. It's a beautiful trail, wonderful footing. Some of them are paved. Some of them are more of a stone dirt mix so that you can take horses on them. The ones that are paved are accessible to people in wheelchairs or who might have mobility issues. But they're just beautiful corridors where our railroads used to run that we can now use as trails instead.
But the old tracks have been ripped up, I'm assuming.
Yes, the tracks are gone, and a lot of work has gone into making them usable trails, and they're there for all of us to enjoy.
Who takes responsibility for this in terms of liability, in terms of insurance?
Whoever manages that trail. So in the case of the rail trail, it's primarily the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection.
So the state itself is in charge of a number of these trails, but I'm assuming that some of the other trails that you were talking about at the beginning, the land trust and so on, those are with private concerns?
Yes, and I believe, I'm not an expert on the liability issues of trails, but I believe that there's a certain amount of risk that we all assume that when we're using trails, similar to that of when we're driving on the roads or in other public places.
Or when you go skiing, for instance, and you see all the signs saying, you know what, let's take responsibility here.
Right. It could be a dangerous sport. Anybody can fall on the trail and twist an ankle. So you do need to be cognizant of that when you head out. You're at your own risk.
Are you worried about the future? I know that the state is looking to save money and some social service agencies are concerned. Are you worried that there will be cutbacks that might affect the trails in Connecticut?
You know, I'm not an expert in this area, but we have so many different organizations that are working together to work on trails that and when you hear about examples such as the Sleeping Giant Park Association and what that group's been able to accomplish, I feel confident that there's innovative solutions and enough people that are advocating for trails to find some solutions,
mm-hmm.
choices that may be made. Again, that's not something that I have any influence over, but I think that there's people out there that are going to be working to keep our trails open.
It's like I think many organizations that help out with the beaches and other parklands, when they need volunteers, boy, they're able to get them, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think we all have a certain level of responsibility that if we want to use these natural resources, we also need to spend some time helping clean them up, maintain trails. As trail users, we should also be trail advocates and trail maintainers.
Stacy, we have about a minute left. Is there any information that you would like to get out there about trails or how people can access them that maybe we haven't touched on in the last few minutes?
The Yukon Extension team, the PADS team, has a website, cttrails.yukon.edu. People can find resources and more information about what the team's doing at that site. And I also encourage people to look around at the other resources that exist, whether it's from DEEP, Connecticut Forest and Park Association, or one of the many other groups in the state that are working on trails.
And like when I would go camping when I was a kid, and they would always say, don't leave a mess and always leave it better than you found it, right?
That's correct.
Stacy Stearns, program specialist for Yukon Extension. She works with a number of extension teams, and the one we were talking about today is the extension team that works on trails. Stacy, thank you. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, and have a good afternoon.
Now, if you are one of those who like to get out and hit the trails, whether it's walking, biking, hiking, jogging, you know, it doesn't matter which one, then we have a show for you today. And it's not just for those who simply enjoy using the trails every now and then, but maybe use the trails because they commute to work, or they go to see friends, they ride their bikes, or maybe the kids get to school on them. We're going to bring in our next two guests. Robin Dropkin is Executive Director of Parks and Trails New York. Hi, Robin. Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
And Kate Rattan is the Transportation Program Manager with the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments. Hi, Kate.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for coming on. Kate, just so we're clear, what does a Transportation Program Manager do?
Well, I manage several different aspects of our transportation program at the Council of Governments. I help the different towns, the 22 towns that make up our region, access both state and federal funding. And I also act as a technical resource for them when they have questions about how to implement different infrastructure in their towns.
So you have 22 towns. Are those 22 towns nowadays trying to get more trails or greenways for those who want to walk or bike or hike?
Absolutely. And I'll just correct you, myself. It's 22 municipalities, and we do include a couple of cities in there. So,
okay.
So the boroughs count as a municipality as well. They are ubiquitously looking for better access to trails and open space. That was definitely one of the first findings in our new bicycle and pedestrian plan that's just out on the street for public comment.
Are they looking for more nowadays because residents are clamoring for them?
It is, it's a lifestyle issue. So we look at other states, and other states have some really incredible trails. And within southeastern Connecticut, we have lagged behind a little bit. We don't have any regionally significant. We have one regionally significant trail, the East Coast Greenway. I'm sorry, the Airline and Hop River go through Windham and Lebanon. But within the majority of our towns, we don't have a really first-class trail facility that or a multi-use trail facility that we can all claim. However, I will say that there are so many beautiful trails within our state parks and our local municipal parks, and trying to stitch those together and make them more apparent to the broader population is part of this plan, is trying to make it more accessible and market it better.
Robin, thanks for your patience and for holding on. Is Parks and Trails a New York State organization, or is it a private group?
We're a statewide nonprofit, so we are actually the advocates who would be pushing Kate and her organizations, if we were in Connecticut, to get more trails and to make our roads more bicycle and pedestrian friendly. So we are a nonprofit and an advocacy organization. So we are not a governmental organization.
So you're the ones who basically, you work on getting those trails up and running all across New York State.
We push and prod and lend a helping hand in all sorts of ways, put it that way.
All right. Tell me a little bit about the Empire State Trail.
Oh, yes. Well, unlike Connecticut, we do have a grand master statewide trail in the works. It's going to be 750 miles, and it's going to stitch together some existing trails, create new trails, and it's really going to be remarkable, the longest statewide trail in the country. It's going to start in Manhattan and go up the Hudson Valley, and then at Albany, it's going to continue in two directions, north to Canada and then west to Buffalo.
Wow.
Using the Erie Canalway Trail, which is about 360 miles. So it's a very exciting endeavor. It's not an inexpensive endeavor. It's about $220 million endeavor. But our Governor Cuomo, put his weight behind it, and he really thinks that these kind of amenities are important for the people of New York.
$220 million, huh?
Yep.
Nice. Where is it starting in Manhattan?
Well, it's going to be the Hudson, the Greenway along the Hudson River.
Okay.
In Riverside Park, and then it goes up there, and then it sort of stitches together a bunch of trails, some existing and some that are being that are under construction right now, actually, and kind of crosses the Hudson River at various points.
Kate, I'm going to get back to you in just one second. I just want to ask Robin, will this extend out to Long Island?
Well, I have to say that at this point, there is no concrete plan, but there are many groups, including Parks and Trails New York, that are looking for options. It's not as easy on Long Island. There aren't the kind of railroad corridors. There's, it's very densely populated. So it's not quite as, not that the rest of it was easy at all, but it's more of a challenge, shall we say. But the end goal is to include Long Island.
Kate, I know you're in the southeastern portion of the state, but I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, wouldn't something like this just be wonderful if it could, I know it's running up the Hudson, but if it could kind of meander off a little bit, go through Westchester and then head into Fairfield County, and then everybody kind of hook up together, if you will.
It's so wonderful that you point that out. And while I was at the DOT, we worked on the USBR7, which is the U.S. bike route number 7, which actually will parallel the Empire State Trail. And that's an on-road facility. But, there will be they are probably about 20 miles apart. And that'll be something where people can kind of flip-flop between them. And the USBR7 goes from Norwalk all the way up to and connects with the Route Vert in Canada and goes all the way into Montreal. So, and I'd also like to point out that, Robin, when you get to the end of Long Island, we will be waiting in New London on the ferry dock.
That might be a bit of an aquatic trail, but I could see that.
The ferry.
Well, so, we're looking at multimodal. The future is multimodal, so ferries are
great. Or you can put on the
wetsuits. Integral part of it.
So in the future, this may actually happen, right? I mean, it could be something. It might take a few years, but there could be a trail conceivably that will go throughout this region.
Well, our two governors have been talking a lot about different issues, so maybe this is the next one that should be on the table. What do you think, Kate?
Well, I think that we are also, I don't want to speak for the DOT, but they have been showing great commitment to completing the East Coast Greenway, and a lot of work has been done on the Farmington. And that cuts down into New Haven, and then there's a shoreline route that's identified currently on road, but maybe potentially one day, as your previous guest had mentioned, upon along the Merritt Parkway, which will connect right into New York, because the East Coast Greenway goes from Calais, Maine, all the way down to the Florida Keys.
Robin, what was the biggest obstacle in setting this up?
Well, I mean, I think, so, you know, we've been advocating for the completion of the Erie Canalway Trail for many, many years, and that's from Albany to Buffalo, and a lot of that, there was a corridor, the old Erie Canal towpath, and mm-hmm. then some railroad corridors that had sprung up either on the towpath or parallel or whatever. And it was really a matter of money. And I think once the governor committed the funding, I mean, there are challenges on the ground for sure. There's bridges and, you know, tunnels and all sorts of things, rights of way. But really, once the funding was committed, it really made a clear path forward. So it's going to be completed by the end of 2020. It might be, you know, December 31st at 11:59. It is slated to be completed by the end of 2020. So, I mean, that's right around the corner. So it, to us, it's like a miracle. You know, after years and years of advocating for trails and completion of the Erie Canalway Trail, you know, it was really like a miracle. And I just wanted to kind of corroborate what Kate said about communities just really, really wanting trails. When we started doing this, you know, 25, 30 years ago, advocating for multi-use trails, you know, we were kind of looked at as outliers. And, you know, like a lot of communities, especially rural communities, would kind of say, like, why do we really want these things? You know, we have plenty of open space. You know, of course, you couldn't go on it because it was all privately owned. But now not that there's still not NIMBYism in some people who are opposed, but I'd say the general feeling has really flip-flopped, and this is what communities want. They want places to have, to be able to have healthy recreation. They want a place to bring their kids. You know, seniors want a place, a kind of flat that they can walk. So it really serves a lot of purposes in a community.
Robin Dropkin is the Executive Director of Parks and Trails New York. Kate Rattan is the Transportation Program Manager with the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments. If you want to comment on today's program, you can email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org. On Facebook, find us at Full Story WSHU. And remember that all our shows are available as podcasts. You can download the full story on Google Play or on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. This is The Full Story on WSHU. And we're continuing with our conversation. And Kate, I want to bring up something that Robin just mentioned, and that is money. I mean, they got a good chunk of money from Governor Cuomo. Connecticut has been having its budget woes for a number of years now. It's no big secret. The state is now what's called on a debt diet, I believe Governor Lamont calls it. Are you worried about funding for future projects, and especially for something like bike trails or greenways or hiking trails?
Well, it is really challenging. There's never enough money to do what you'd like to do, and the cost of a mile of trail has just really blossomed in the last couple of years. What was $1 million a mile can be, you know, around $6 million a mile now. The way that we have to think about it in our region, particularly because we may not be able to leverage some of the funds that other areas might be able to, is to just be very guerrilla about it. We have to pack it into every maintenance project. We have to scrap together with local organizations, local land conservancies. We have to leverage in-kind donations of land and time to be able to access other funds.
How do you
get? We're looking everywhere.
Connecticut is well known for the 169 towns and cities and municipalities doing their own thing. How do you get everybody to work together?
We actually have a really cooperative Council of Governments. All of our municipal leaders are there every month. We have participation from our tribal liaisons and our military liaisons from the Coast Guard and the sub-base. There is a real need for them to coordinate because budgets are tight and the municipal aid is limited. And so more and more we're seeing opportunities to share. So we've done several benchmark shared use studies within our region looking at social services and municipal products like assessment and things of that nature. We just recently created this amazing wastewater plan that was really an amazing product, and you can finally look at how we're dealing with that that issue on a regional basis. And so really, firstly, with our organization, it comes with creating those informational documents so that people understand where we are before they can start talking about how we can move forward in a way that's most efficient.
Robin, are you getting calls from counterparts in other states asking how you did it in New York and whether or not they could copy it and where they are?
Well, I think people realize that it's not something that necessarily can be replicated. I mean, not that many states started out with a 350-mile trail, almost complete anyway. And but I do want to say that the Empire State Trail, as wonderful it is not the end-all and be-all. I mean, it's going to touch a ton of communities, but it's not going to touch every community by far. And you know, we are looking at how other communities that are not adjacent to it can really benefit from trails. And one of the things that we did this year, we advocated for a multi-use trail plan, a bill in the legislature, and it got passed by both the our assembly and Senate. And now we're waiting to see if the governor signs it, which I'm got my fingers crossed that he will, which kind of lays out a plan for the rest of the state. You know, how are we going to build out our system of trails? So with the Empire State Trail as the spine.
Kate, I just have a minute left, and something occurred to me the other day, because we've done a number of programs about the climate crisis, and I was wondering if you're finding people advocating more for trails nowadays, because it's a healthy thing to do, where you're not on a plane, you're not in the car, and you're out doing something, and you're not damaging the environment. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Through our bicycle and pedestrian plan process, we put out a survey, and 65% of individuals were walking and biking for health reasons, and similarly, 82% were doing it for recreation. So people are out there for those reasons. And we're also seeing with climate change and storm resiliency, we're looking more closely at those areas that are very precarious and likely to be inundated by water, and maybe considering saving those spaces for public recreation and not building on them, because the losses, if they were developed, would be higher than if they were maintained as open space.
Kate Rattan is the Transportation Program Manager with the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments, and Robin Dropkin is the Executive Director of Parks and Trails New York. Robin, Kate, it was a pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate your time today.
You're welcome. It was fun.
Have a great day.
We're continuing our discussion about trails in our region, trails we use for walking, jogging, hiking, biking. How do the trails get formed? Who keeps them in shape? Who has responsibility for them? And we'll talk about a whole bunch of other issues and topics. Let's talk about what is going on in one particular area, which is Fairfield County. Bob Duff is a state senator. He's a Democrat who represents the 25th District of Norwalk and Darien, and he's a Senate Majority Leader. Now, the senator has been with us before. Sometimes we've talked about some very contentious issues, but I don't think this conversation is going to be like that. How are you, how are you, Senator? Welcome back.
Good. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the Norwalk River Valley Trail.
Well, the River Valley Trail is one that extends from Norwalk all the way up to Danbury and has been a kind of a long-running dream for many people for decades. As in everything, things come down to funding, but it would be a great recreational trail, as you see in other parts of the country. And I think there's, if I understand it correctly, it's a trail that could potentially connect from Florida all the way up through Maine, or at least through the Canadian border. And it would be one where people could hike and bike and walk and be outside, kind of as you were saying before, kind of low impact, but a way for people to enjoy the outdoors.
It's been planned and it's been in the planning stages for quite a number of years. Is this for hiking? Is it for biking, jogging? I mean, how wide is it?
I would say it's for all of that, and it's really multi-use for a lot of folks. It's one where you in an area that we live in, which is now granted, a town like Wilton is suburban, but on the other hand, it's still greater New York City area, which is a pretty condensed area, and you want to have a place where people can enjoy the outdoors and get out and feel like they're part of nature. And, sometimes it's a little difficult to do that where we live. And I think the River Valley Trail is one that would be very nice. I mean, you've got it along the Norwalk River and very scenic, and it goes through multi-towns. And, we're different here in this part of the country than other parts because we have these small towns versus, other parts of the country where they have big counties or the municipalities are larger and you can do those things over long stretches. Here you need approval from the state because it's a state land and all the agreements with the municipality. So it creates kind of a little extra work than maybe would happen some other place.
Sure. And then when you get into each town, each department has to have a say in this and they have to approve it, right? And then there are insurance regulations and so on.
Exactly. And it comes down to the regular, and also what was the use beforehand. What has been a little bit of a tie-up where we are is that you have land that now is was former railroad property, was had other uses beforehand, and there were different rules back then as to pollution and cleanup or lack thereof, and how that's going to impact somebody who's going to use that even for passive recreation.
So who actually owns this? Who runs this? Is this a state operation?
Well, the state owns the land, but the state has provided some assistance, I think a $5 million grant, and that's only just for a portion of it. The state owns it, but the state is not taking it up as something that they're doing. They're letting the municipalities kind of run with it. But it's something that is more complicated by the fact that towns are doing it, but it's state land, but the state's saying, hey, look, you towns, you want it, fine, that's great, but we're going to, you're going to have to be in charge of executing it.
Okay, they've been working on this for, as I said before, quite a number of years. How close is it to finally being completed?
I think we're getting there. It's not, I don't think it's close to getting completed. It's almost completed in Norwalk. I don't know how much it's completed in the other towns. I don't think very much. I think Wilton has a big chunk of it, and then there's pieces in Ridgefield and obviously Danbury, maybe Bethel too. But, it requires a lot of work. Again, it goes up the Norwalk River area. I have to say, besides state funding, there's also private donors. There's federal grant. So there's a number of fingers in the pie here. But I don't think a lot of this would be happening if it weren't for the private donors and the Norwalk River Valley Trail group that's been working really, really hard to get this off the ground.
That's what
it takes a lot of momentum to get things like this going.
Yeah, it's what I was talking about with some of our earlier guests, because when it comes to trails, those who are passionate about trails are very active, not only in maintaining and cleaning them, but in organizing and donating to get them going.
Right, exactly. So it does take a lot, which is why I think it's taking probably longer than people would have liked. But there are also, again, some, there are also definitely some environmental issues that have to be under consideration, liability issues, connectivity issues. The towns have to be able to connect it. So it just it makes it a little more complicated than it probably would be if one community owned the whole thing, or which is why Norwalk is almost done. But now we're connecting into other communities and need to make sure everybody's working together. And then there's also the issue of money.
It's finally that. I was going to say, just last question, I know you have to run. Will there be money in future budgets to accomplish this? The state is on a diet nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, that remains to be seen, obviously. But I think the $5 million that was provided under the previous administration was important. And then as there's more progress, there'll be more demands for funding. But you know, I think it can happen because it's important to a lot of people. So it's important. It's a bipartisan issue. It's not. It's one that we view as a quality of life issue and something that really should be completed. This should not stagger on for decades.
Connecticut Senate Majority Leader Bob Duff, Democrat, representing the 25th District, Norwalk and Darien. Senator, thank you. We always appreciate your time, sir.
Always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
And we are going to wrap up our program today by bringing in Pat Sesto. Pat is the president of the Norwalk River Valley Trail Board of Directors. And we were just talking about the Norwalk River Valley Trail with Senator Duff. Pat, welcome to the program. Nice to meet you.
It's good to meet you. Thank you for having me.
For those who don't know, give us the background. What is the Norwalk River Valley Trail?
The Norwalk River Valley Trail is a proposed 30-mile trail that would link Calf Pasture Beach in Norwalk to Rogers Park in Danbury. A good portion of the trail would go through DOT land, which had been previously acquired by the state for the Super 7 right-of-way.
The Super 7, for those, it has a long and horrible history. For those who don't know, and this is going back 30 or 40 years, they basically wanted to take what is Route 7 now, which goes from Norwalk, and they wanted to build a massive wide highway straight up to Danbury, I believe, right? And it
Absolutely,
just,
yes.
Lawsuits went on for years and years, and it basically never got off the ground. But that land is still there, and now it looks like you're repurposing it, aren't you?
Yes. What's great about our trail is it takes public land, it opens it up for public use. This was land that was acquired back in the 60s, so it's been lying fallow for a long time. And the trail, because it is accessible to bikes, it is handicap compliant, it connects to several business centers, Wilton Center, Georgetown, Ridgefield Center, and train stations. It really, in a different form, brings to fruition, in some respects, what this land was originally acquired for.
So this is actually very, very wide in certain areas.
Oh, yes. A couple hundred feet wide or more. I mean, it was a four-lane divided highway. That was the proposal.
So are you talking about
overleaf exit ramps and the whole design.
So that means you're talking about using this for everything, for hiking, for jogging, for bike riding, right?
Absolutely. Strollers, kids who learn how to bike can do it safely off-road. Yeah, it's wonderful.
And the state has basically said, we have this land, And you've negotiated with them, and here's what you could do with it in the future?
So the proposed trail, it's not all DOT land. Up until you get to the Ridgefield-Wilton border, the corridor is pretty much intact. And then after that, it's only about 40% of the corridor was ever acquired. So we will need cooperation from private property owners and towns if we would like to use municipal land. The state conceptually partnered with us back in 2012 or earlier when we did the routing study. And so now we're working on the logistics of how to make it happen. You know, the legal things come in after the concept is all squared away.
How are the negotiations going with the private property owners?
Talks are underway. Most of our work has already occurred on just the DOT land. So the folks that was intentional, one, because it's easier to work with one property owner than several. And also, once a trail is built, the private property owners can look and see what it is that we're actually talking about. It's a much different trail than many of the footpaths that we see through our open spaces. So it's easier for people to understand what we're talking about, and the good and the bad.
We're talking with Pat Sesto. Pat is the president of the Norwalk River Valley Trail Board of Directors, and this is The Full Story on WSHU. I'm Ron Ropiak, and we're continuing with our conversation with Pat. And Pat, this sounds wonderful, but why did you get involved with this? Because this takes a lot of negotiations and a lot of work. And I know there are so many across the state and across Long Island. There are volunteers who are very active in trails. And I'm curious as to what it is that really got you motivated to do this.
It actually went back to a change in the legislature, I would say around 2010, where Super 7 right-of-way was limited. DOT was limited to using it only for a highway. Then there was a change in the legislature that allowed DOT to use it for other reasons. It's hundreds of acres, if not close to a couple thousand acres of land. So guiding the destiny of that land, putting it to public use, made sense. There's nothing in this part of the state, anything like this trail. And it's one of those things that sparked me. It sparked a whole host of other people to say, yeah, we want this for our area. And then you jump in, and it is so rewarding. How many people love this trail?
Hmm.
We are part of the Connecticut Trail Census, and we have monitoring on the 2.5 miles that are already built in Wilton. In just that section alone, we have 6,000 people a month on this trail.
6,000. That's 6, a nice 000. Number. What's a realistic timeline to have this all done?
Excellent question. It's a question without an answer. Money we have raised. There's been so many generous people in the community, so we have raised the funds to build what we have. We have a couple of grants now that we're working with to build more. So our ability to raise money is a huge factor in how fast we can do this. And then as we work north, in the north half of the trail, the working with private property owners and getting some of those folks on board. So those are the two biggest pieces. If somebody came and wrote me a $30 million check tomorrow, I'd say the much quicker.
I wouldn't mind a $30 million check myself. But let me touch on NIMBY a little bit, because as this trail extends a little bit further up, I mean, I'm assuming that this trail will be in someone's backyard.
It already is. The section in Wilton already is in people's backyard, and it is one of those very characteristic endeavors in life. People, before it's there, are worried. We get the common concerns that are common across the board for trails all across the country. People worry about crime. They worry about their property value. They worry about their privacy. And once the trail is in, people are ecstatic. And we see in the section in Wilton, people have their own private little trail that goes out to the main trail. We see real estate listings saying, you know, backs up to the Norwalk River Valley Trail. And there's so many studies out there which show that the crime on a trail is no different than the crime in the community as a whole, that property values, in fact, increase. The time it takes to sell your home decreases. So the concerns that people have going in don't materialize once the trail is there.
Do you see this linking up with other trails in the state, forming one gigantic trail eventually sometime in the future?
Yes, I do. We are actually, the Norwalk Valley Trail will be the southernmost segment of the Western New England Greenway, which will connect Connecticut, our part of Connecticut, up to Montreal. So, yeah, the trail systems are alive and well, and people are looking to get out. They're looking for abilities to have short encounters with exercise in the natural world, as well as, you know, things that might span states and even countries.
So you're saying sometime in the future, I'll be able to go down to Calf Pasture Beach down by the Sound, and I'll be able to make it all the way up to Montreal if I wanted to.
Someday.
You know, I better start working out. And
well, the neat thing is businesses pop up along trails like that, so there should be a good number of bed and breakfasts along the way to give you a good night rest.
Oh, I think I'll need a lot of rest at that point. Anything else that you could tell us about the Norwalk River Valley Trail that we should know?
It is 10 feet wide. It is packed cinder for the most part, and in some areas in Norwalk, it's paved. So it is accessible for all kinds of people with all kinds of mobility issues to get out there and use a trail. It's much different than, as I said, their single track through the woods kind of things. It is a trail you can socialize on, you can use as a commuter link. It is just so much more wonderful than I knew it going in, how great it would be.
Pat Sesto is the president of the Norwalk River Valley Trail Board of Directors. Pat, it was a pleasure. Thank you, and I can't wait to walk and hike it.
I hope you enjoy it. I'm sure you will.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ron.
Appreciate your help. That's it for our show today. Julie Ferdino is our engineer. Carrie Frank is the digital editor. Our associate producers are Fatou Sangari, Sabrina Garone, Roberto Rojas, J.D. Allen is the producer, Ann Lopez is the senior producer, and Terry Sheridan is our news director. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks to you for being part of The Full Story.